views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I'm here to share information that can help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Now, today, I have with me on the line an incredible woman by the name of Maria Nemeth. She has a really amazing bio, which I'm actually just going to highlight some of the things that really stand out for me. And then you can take a look at the more of the details, if you like, on the profile page at Transformation Talk Radio if you need more. So, Maria is a psychologist and master certified coach who helps purpose-driven people everywhere see their greatness and bring it all to life. Her luminous life method has helped tens of thousands live and serve with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. Love it. Her work has been featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show. She's been very active in community transformation, and she is an author of two highly acclaimed books, The Energy of Money and Mastering Life's Energies, both of which have given people everywhere a way to begin putting success principles into immediate practice in their lives. And that's actually what she's here to do today. She's going to share some key strategies for keeping you both successful and sane. I have to say I giggled a little when I read her title, which is What to Do When You Don't Know What the Heck H. To Do. Yeah. H with three asterisks. You fill in the blank. So it sounds very fun. Maria, welcome to the show.
Oh, Debbie, thank you so much. It's wonderful for me to be here.
Oh, well, it's awesome to have you. So let's jump right into the topic of success. I know that you have a very interesting take on it, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners what success is all about to you.
I would be thrilled to do it, Debbie. You know, what I really want to emphasize at all on all occasions is that success is not really about how much you do, but really it's about the quality of your results in life. Because, you know, if success, Debbie, were just about all the things you do, you know, just how much you do, then we could turn ourselves into positive doing machines. And yes. At the end of the day, we really wouldn't have a sense of accomplishment, would we? So a number of years ago, I saw this in my own life, as well as in the lives of the people that I worked with. And so I developed a particular way of looking at success, which I think leads us to a life that has more meaning in it, has more of a sense of I'm doing what I am meant to be doing in life. So this is how I would define it. Success is doing what you said you would do consistently with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. Where nice. Clarity, Debbie, is all about becoming clear about what you really love, what is really important to you. Not what you should do, but what is really important to you. You know, what is on your priority list? Focus is about learning to focus all of your energy and your attention on what's important to you. And all the people who I've worked with over the years, and by now we figured I've worked with over 100,000 people in terms of coaching them, whether they've been on bigger programs with me or even small one-to-one, that focus is literally about focusing on what you really love. You know, what is brings the most value for you. And I say this over and over again to people because there are so many ways, Debbie, that we can become distracted in life. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ease is about taking small, sweet steps toward a particular dream that you have, not thinking that you have to go way, way beyond your comfort zone, but simply maybe a little bit further than you would normally go, but making sure that you have a lot of ease along the way, that you're not suffering, that you're not overwhelmed, overworked, overtired. And then, of course, grace is the last way to describe success. And grace, the definition of grace is that it is an unearned blessing. And the phenomenally powerful way to look at having grace in our lives is to have the ability to develop your capacity to be grateful. You know, yes. To be grateful for what you have and what you're accomplishing, and just being grateful for the whole journey. So clarity, focus, ease, and grace describe the four aspects of success.
Very nice. I love how the focus of that whole thing is on what's important to you. And, you know, what feels good, what gets your blood flowing, what makes you feel vibrant and alive, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, so many of us, isn't it true, Debbie, that we have a hard time allowing ourselves to do what we love?
Oh, yes. You know? We have guilt often when we do the things we love. So
absolutely. And guilt is so useless. You know, it is. Guilt has never made a successful person more successful. No. You know, when you ask a person, why is it that you're so successful? They never say, well, because I've developed my ability to be really guilty.
Oh, you know. That's so true. It is a drain. It's one of those things that just drains us of energy. Yep. It can push us in a good direction if, you know, you recognize it and use it to guide you to say, okay, I need to talk to this person, or I need to, you know, work this out because it is bothering me. But the guilt itself is just a wasted emotion.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So, you know, you put in your title here, what to do when you don't know what the heck to do. So we all have times when we just don't know what to do. So I'm wondering if, first of all, you can tell us a little bit about what's going on in the brain at moments like these, and then guide us in what we can do about it.
I would be happy, Debbie, and I'm thrilled you're asking me that question, because it gets to the heart of the matter for a lot of us. Imagine that for all of us, our brain is like an organ. You know, we have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two ears, and an organ, and it's the brain. And when you begin to ask yourself, well, what difference in my life would it make if I were to see my brain as an organ? Well, then you might begin to ask, look, I know when my arm is tired. I know when my foot is tired. I know when my shoulder is tired. Do I know when my brain is tired? And one of the symptoms, what are the symptoms of having what I call an overly tired or overworked brain? And very often when we are very, very tired, when we are very, very exhausted, this is often when our brain comes up with these error messages. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to even think right now. First thing I say is, imagine if your brain were tired, what would you do with anything else that was tired? You'd rest it. And how do you find something to rest your brain with? And many, many different things fill that bill. Number one, listening to music that you love, even for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Taking a short walk outside, 10 minutes. reading something inspiring another 5 minutes. So you could spend anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes restoring your brain. That's nice. Number one.
Okay. So just a quick question. I love that. And it's something that I certainly try to do because I notice when my brain is tired, words start getting mixed and I can't think and it's no longer fun, right?
Nope.
But I'm wondering if a person, let's say, is working on the internet, so they're reading, then it would probably be better for them to take a break of, say, going outside for a walk.
Yes, exactly.
Versus sitting and trying to read more of something else, right?
Exactly. And I'm glad we're talking about it at this level because I want to give your listeners, Debbie, some definite strategies, things you can do to make a difference, things you can do to make a difference with your brain. So, for example, if you're reading a lot, yes, a 10-minute walk, a 5-minute listening to music. What are you doing? Well, you are resting your brain. And when you rest your brain, something happens. Your brain changes its operating state. So you can have an operating state with your brain, Debbie, in which you are stressed and exhausted, maybe even multitasking, which we can talk about a little bit later. But standing up, disrupting your brain's current state by resting a little bit, restores your brain. It's like resetting a computer. You know, you log off, wait a few moments, and then log back on. See, and it refreshes the computer. Same thing for your brain.
Right. So, but maybe let's go longer than the 10 seconds or the 30 seconds.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying even 5 minutes. And as you know, I'm a psychologist as well as a master certified coach. So I've worked with people for many, many years about how to change their brain's natural operating state. And if you're sitting, stand up and walk around. If you've been standing for a long time, sit and put on 5 minutes of music. You just want to change your brain's current operating state. Yes. So that's a few things you can do when you don't know what the heck to do. The most important thing to know, and this is what makes all the difference, Debbie, know that when you don't know what the heck to do, you really do have a voice of wisdom that will show you what to do next once you have changed the operating state of your brain. Because when we're very, very tired, one of the mechanisms that gets activated is something called our amygdala. And the amygdala, I don't want to get too technical here, but it's a small part of the brain responsible for fight, flight, or freeze. And this comes online, and the minute it comes online, when our brain is kind of overworked, you know, overcooked, the minute it comes online, it hijacks the creative part of your brain.
Right.
So by changing your brain state, you are taking, in most cases, that amygdala offline. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And I think it's a wonderful message for everybody to hear because we spend a lot of time in fight and flight where we don't need to be. Yep. And so learning how to shift gears. Can I just quickly share my favorite little trick?
Please.
Especially because with moms and little kids, this can be so fun. Is just lying down on the floor and putting your feet up on the chair or on.
Oh, yes.
Because it shifts you over from that fight or flight to rest and digest. And it changes your brain. It helps you to just relax for those few seconds. And all of a sudden your information, intuition, all that can kick into gear.
It's amazing. It's really true, folks. She speaketh the truth. Listen to this woman.
Love it. So you talk about something called trouble at the border.
Oh, yes.
That, and what does that have to do with being a powerful mom?
Well, let me tell you what that means. Trouble at the border. is a natural phenomenon that we all go through when we are trying to do something new or different. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you would, as a mom, you want to learn how to do a certain kind of exercise with your kids. It could be calming exercise. It could be stretching exercise. I'm just giving a very, very basic thing here. And right. You say to yourself, well, okay, this is new. We're going to try it. And sure enough, as you try it, it is harder to do than you thought it would be, because you haven't developed the skill set yet of learning how to exercise with your kids. There's a program for mothers with baby yoga and me, so that you actually do some yoga with your baby or your young kids.
Right.
So let's say you're trying this out and you're saying, why isn't it working? It should work. Well, whenever you are learning a new skill set, just you've got to know that it's going to take you about 10 times more energy at the beginning than you thought it would take. And right. At that moment, even if you had wanted to do this project to begin with, you're going to hear a little voice in your head. I call it your monkey mind.
Okay.
Now, Debbie, your monkey mind is a Buddhist term. It stands for that aspect of the mind that is always chattering at us as it swings from doubt to worry and back to doubt again.
Right.
And that monkey mind will say, you know what? You're too tired to start this little thing with your kids. Put it off till later. It's not working now. It'll never work. And at that point, what's important to do is to maybe scale back how you're proceeding with this little project. Start a little, maybe even doing when you've been doing 10 minutes, scale it back to 5 minutes with this new program. But keep going. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop, because at trouble at the border, and this is true whether you're, you can make a list, folks, if you're wanting to learn a new language, if you're wanting to write a book, if you're wanting to paint a picture, if you want to learn a new way of baking, if you want to go out and get a new sort of a job, whatever you want to do, even as much as it sings to your heart, and I'm going to be telling people a little later on how to find out if something sings to their heart or not, okay? But right. Even if it sings to your heart 100%, the minute you start something, no matter how much you love it, you're going to run into this trouble at the border. And it only means that you're doing something right, not something wrong, Debbie. You're doing something right.
Doing something new.
Yep. Something new, yes. Different.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That's, I do like to talk about something I call a learning cycle, and it talks about that awkwardness. And then, yep. You know, even when you get a little bit better at it, you often feel fraudulent. So I love that. I love, yep. The more we understand these kinds of things, the more we can say, all right, so we've done a few minutes of this yoga. Maybe now we'll just do free dance. But we don't want to fall into that trap of maybe tomorrow, because tomorrow's a flirt. It doesn't ever get here. It just
continues. I love it. Oh,
to pretend.
May I quote you? That is brilliant. I love it.
Well, you can, but you probably should credit Randy Gage. Can I try that? You probably should credit Randy Gage, because he's the one who actually said it. I love it. So what are some of the most common myths or misconceptions that you hear about what it takes to be a great mom?
Well, the biggest misconception, and I think your listeners already know this, is that a great mom is one who can get it all done and get it all done alone without asking for support. A great mom is someone who can balance many, many needs all at once. Great mom is someone who has boundless energy. She just keeps going. I'll bet that some of your listeners are probably starting to hyperventilate as they're hearing me say all this, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. And yet they might even be nodding along and thinking, yes, that is what makes a great mom. How do I get me some of that? We can't do it all.
You don't. Exactly. You don't. You don't. You don't. You know, yeah. I've actually had the great good fortune of interviewing a lot of folks who people would say they're a great mom, including a gentleman who has three children, and their mom just unfortunately died a couple of years ago from cancer. Okay. And he's taken on the role of not only dad, but really what you could stand by and say, this is a great mom. And one of the first things I recognize when I'm interviewing some of these people, the first thing they always do is let their children know how much they love them. That if you interview people who talk about their moms, and I've done this for years and years and years and years and years, you know, because believe it or not, I discovered a few weeks ago that I've been in the helping profession, either as a counselor, a psychologist, or a master certified coach, Debbie. I've been in the helping profession for 50 years. 50 wow. years. So you can imagine I've counseled and interviewed a few people. One or two.
Absolutely.
One or two. And almost to a person, when I ask them, what made your mom great in your eyes? Almost to a person, they'll say to me, she always let us know how much she loved us, and she always let us know that she knew we could do anything that we set our minds to.
Nice.
I said, well, you know, was the house clean? Did the dishes get done on time? You know, how was your mom a great cook? They might say, well, not really. But you know what? That didn't matter to me. What mattered is that there was love. There was appreciation. Our mom, you know, and so for those of us, and I say those of us, who are tempted to become multitaskers, or I would call it busyholics, mm-hmm. you know, we think that love is synonymous with all the things that we're doing.
Right.
No. Love and being a great mom is synonymous with all the ways we are being with our children.
Exactly. And so it's not about necessarily taking them to Disneyland or
no.
You know, having the latest in fashion
nope.
or any of those things. And
nope.
that's certainly a conversation that comes up often when it comes to moms that are working so hard so that their kids can have what they couldn't have when they were young. And
yeah, I know.
It's not the answer.
No.
So, you know, Maria, I feel like we could probably go on for quite a while here, and I know we're getting to the end of our time.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So
I could talk to you for hours, Debbie. You are just great to talk with.
Thank you. Well, I think we have a lot of things we could discuss as well. So I'm wondering if, I know that you have a gift, and
yes.
so I would love to give you a chance to share that gift with the audience, and then if you have a final message that you'd like to add on there too for the audience, I would love for you to share that at that point as well.
I do, and I will.
Under two
I do
minutes.
So. I'll do it under three?
Under two.
Okay, you got it. So, first of all, free gift. Go to my website. I'm the director of the Academy for Coach Training. So what I'd like you to do is go to acecoachtraining.com. That's A-C-E-C-O-A-C-H training.com, one word, /blueprint, to access our free life blueprint guide. It's going to help you set your priorities. You can visit our website at acecoachtraining.com, and there are so many free resources that we have, and you can learn about our in-person trainings for people to become very, very successful. So acecoachtraining.com/blueprint. And if you think of nothing else, whenever you get tired, whenever you feel out of sorts, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, do this one thing. Stop in the moment and find one thing for which you are grateful right here and right now. One thing for which you are grateful. Anything. Just make sure it's something that's happening right here and right now. For example, I, Debbie, I'm very, very, very grateful to have been talking with you today.
Oh, lovely. And that is a wonderful tip. So I really hope people will go to acecoachtraining.com/blueprint and get on your life blueprint guide list. I'm on there and I love your little tips that you send out. They are so quick and easy to read, but very informative. So thank you once again, Maria, for sharing your time, sharing your wisdom with us. I really appreciate your coming on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you to our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Maria Namath, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.